God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to these stations to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry to introduce our broadcast.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Evolution versus intelligent design being taught in government schools has been in the news recently, and it appears the evolutionists are getting their way, as has been the case for years. With that in mind, Brother Hutchings decided to present a part of a series of programs he did with Dr. Carl Baugh a few years ago. They're based on Dr. Baugh's powerful book, Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds? The topic and the programs are just as relevant today as they were then, perhaps even more so because of what's going on in that arena today. You'll have an opportunity to get a copy of the insightful book, and we'll tell you more about that later. Dr. Baugh is founder and director of Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas, and he travels the world in search of evidence that proves the biblical account of creation. He's been on this program many times in the past. Brother Hutchings, would you please tell us why a person would want to get Dr. Baugh's books?
I feel that our schools need, our young people need, and even Christians today, the average church member, their faith is being tested by all these evolutionary TV presentations on public television, on so-called scientific channels. Dr. Baugh's latest book is excellent. It's beautiful color, four color, hardbound, and you're going to want to get a copy. Dr. Baugh, it's good to have you today, and I'm going to have you tell us about your new book.
Dr. Hutchings, it's always a pleasure to be on the broadcast and to be identified with you and this ministry. You're exactly right in what you've said during the introduction, and that is that we are barraged by propaganda at every turn. And it's about time we fortified the believers and those honest skeptics in the audience with information showing that evolution simply will not work. Then why do men believe evolution against all odds? Well, this book is published to expose the fallacies of evolution by quoting the leading scientific journals and leading scientific researchers themselves in their admissions that their area has no scientific proof, but they're depending on another area. Then we go to that other area and we look into the literature and find where leading scholars admit, well, really, there's no proof in our area of investigation, no proof of evolutionary origin or evolutionary interpretation. We just approach it with that mindset. They say, however, there's another area that does have that proof. So we go to the other area. We examine the various disciplines and find that leading evolutionary scholars in each of these evolutionary disciplines admit that evolution has not been proved in their area of expertise. Putting it all together, we come to the conclusion that evolution is not based in science. In fact, the chapters of this book include first the marks, the characteristics of evolution. That's chapter one. And then chapter two is a statement that evolution is religious in nature. And I'm looking forward to getting into that area of the broadcast during this series of broadcasts because leading evolutionary scholars again admit that the concept of evolution was introduced from religions of the past, and I'll show in the book, or do show in the book, and we'll show on one of the subsequent broadcasts here at Southwest Radio Ministries, that evolution continues to be a religious preoccupation without scientific merit. And then chapter 3 deals with universal physics to see if evolution can be an explanation for the origin of the cosmos. Chapter 4 deals with the origin of life issue. Can evolution explain the origin of life? And to the amazement of many listening to the broadcast today, there's marshaled a tremendous body of data showing that evolution cannot explain the origin of life. Then chapter 5 deals with the development of life forms throughout history. Can evolution explain the development from amoeba through lower primates, ultimately developing into man himself? No, evolution cannot explain that. But rather than simply making a dogmatic statement, in this chapter, I lead you through the areas introduced by those involved in this study and show you where many of them admit not only will it not work, We can't even envision a way that it might work. Yet, evolution is taken for granted as being the means by which life formed and life developed. But Chapter 5 discusses that. In Chapter 6 of this must-have book, we deal with stasis. Now, stasis is a term indicating that things have remained the same in the geologic column for hundreds of millions of years on the evolutionary scale. Now, we know from scientific investigation, universal history does not involve hundreds of millions of years. It involves only a few thousand years, and we deal with that in the book and give scientific justification for interpreting universal history and Earth history in thousands of years. In Chapter 7, we deal with the geologic column, its fossils and artifacts, and there is a marvelous listing of information, a viewing of fossils in full color. That will show you that the geologic column does not support evolution, as it's designed to illustrate, but instead supports creation. Then we deal with the time factor. How long ago did all of this occur? Chapter 9 deals with design. I can hardly wait to get to that area in one of the broadcasts. And then Chapter 10 asks the question, why do good men believe bad science, and attempts to give an answer. Now, Dr. Hutchings, in this first broadcast, I'd like to just read the pictures. Anytime we step to a shelf at a Christian bookstore or a secular bookstore, or anytime we examine a book on the coffee table, the first thing we do is just brush through the book and read the pictures. So that's what I want to do with you today and encourage you now as we read these pictures together or discuss the photo sections, the graphic section in full color. I want to encourage you to determine to get a copy of this book. It is hardbound. It's a keeper. It's not a book that you would push away on a shelf and look at again maybe for 15 minutes, 3 or 4 years down the road. It's the kind of thing you'd like to have on the coffee table or for some of you an executive position to have in your office or on your desk, because immediately it tells a story. It generates emotion within because it asks, why do men believe evolution against all odds? Because the common propagandistic theory is that the evidence for evolution is overwhelming. Well, is it overwhelming? Let's just begin by reading the pictures in the book. On page 38, we have generated a double panel, and this covers both pages 38 and 39. Dr. Hutchings, this panel graphic alone is worth the price of the book. At the bottom of this two-page graphic, it is like an open span in the book. At the bottom, we have the Big Bang Theory illustrated, the timeline of the universe. And this data was taken from modern applications, and of course, we re-illustrated it in our own language. To illustrate the theory of evolution where, supposedly, atoms form from the energy of light, and atoms can form from the energy of light, as we will see in the creation model. But then, while beginning with the truth, evolutionary theory departs from a solid foundation of physics. In fact, it introduces concepts that are so bizarre they have never been observed, are not possible, as I later show in the book and quote from leading scholars who show that these supposed evolutionary interpretations are not possible from universal physics. So they have to assume a universe in which the laws of physics operated differently from what we observe them to be today. That is absolute speculation, inventing a theory, justifying it for reasons outside those of scientific investigation. So the illustration of the Big Bang Theory begins with atoms being formed from the energy of light, no problem there. But then the very next statement is they are later to be cooked to heavier elements in the stars, ultimately to provide the material out of which life would arise. That's where error is stated boldly. This panel illustrates the theory of evolution on a cosmological scale, beginning with a moment of infinite temperature and energy, a time of inflation, and the introduction of the four basic laws of physics known as gravity, electromagnetism, the strong force, and the weak force. And then we have a time of radiation and microwave background illustrated so that the galaxies form according to evolutionary theory. Finally, watch closely, my friend. Finally, this theory gives the current chaotic universe as becoming self-realizing in the mind of man. Now watch closely. You need this book to be acquainted with the reason men believe evolution against all odds, and the bizarre concept that this universe, in the chaos that we find in exploding galaxies and novating stars, that this current universe, in its chaos, self-realizes in the mind of chaotic man. And I'll discuss that on later broadcasts, but that really is disharmonious man becoming harmonic with a chaotic universe. That is asking for a continuation of disharmony, peril, turmoil, that refuses to turn to redemption in Jesus Christ. The upper section of the panel was generated by our graphics artist Steve Miller as we did the research over a period of long periods of years, and it shows a likeness of the Creator Jesus Christ radiating His glory. From His glory is materialized the expanse of the universe, the space fabric itself, the marvelous constellary assignments in the background, and actually those constellations tell a marvelous story of the history of mankind, the history of the universe, the redemption of mankind, and the ultimate triumph of the Creator Himself. Then in this panel, we see constellations and star bodies, plus all of the planets of our solar system, and planet Earth with a beautiful firmamental canopy surrounding it. All of this on the panel. In this first broadcast, we're just reading the pictures, and in these pictures, we have graphics that are worth more than the price of the book itself. On page 60 of the book, we have evolution's imaginary road to life. Many of you have wondered how evolutionary theorists have envisioned that life began. Well, this is graphically illustrated here by our special graphics artist, Steve Miller, and it illustrates inorganic material, which then produces, according to the imaginary road to life theory, proteins, scientifically impossible as we see in this chapter, and then producing the marvelous DNA, scientifically impossible, you cannot get order out of disorder, then producing the orchestrated cell. But in this chapter, as we'll talk in subsequent broadcasts, in this chapter, I talk about and quote leading scholars who show that not only do these inorganic materials lack the capacity to produce this road to life, we can't even envision how they could have produced it. Evolution simply assumes this to be the case and goes from there. On page 63 of this book, we see what has been celebrated as a marvelous scientific achievement, that is Stanley Miller's assimilation of amino acids in the laboratory. And we discuss this in the book, and leading scholars admit that this won't work. In order to get those amino acids to form in the first place, you have to manipulate the system beyond any capacity of any model of planet Earth, and then those amino acids deteriorate as soon as they are formed. Yet this is celebrated as one of the great breakthroughs in illustrating how life originated to begin with. All of this is a refusal to accept a Creator's design. On page 70, I like the illustration of the evolutionary tree that Steve Miller has produced for us, where you have an amoeba branching off to plants, to animals, to fishes, and ultimately producing man. And when you see illustrated before you the ridiculous nature of this, stated in its full assignment by evolutionary thinking, when you see this graphically illustrated, then you recognize how ridiculous it really is. On pages 72 and 73, we have an open-face illustration of the book as we're just reading the pictures. The modern illustration of reptiles producing dinosaurs that produced birds. And in this chapter, I show you how, again, scholars demonstrate that there is no way that the diaphragm respiratory system of a dinosaur could produce the hollow-boned respiratory system of the birds. They operate entirely differently. Any step along the way would have rendered that living system incapable. Any rearrangement of the system along the way would have rendered that living system incapable of functioning from a respiratory viewpoint. And if we can't breathe, we can't produce life on a continuing basis. On page 74, there's a graphic that you should have in your home. Again, let me illustrate that any of these graphics, any one, is worth the price of the entire book. But the book as a whole should be given to university professors and should be given to pastors. I'm speaking to some in the audience right now who are Christians, who yet hold to the theory of evolution. And you think that there is scientific justification for that theory and you want to be considered scientific. I want you to know this book illustrates clearly in text and graphics that there's not a single shred of justification for accepting the theory of evolution. On page 74, we have an illustration of the brain of a chimpanzee. The display that it's only 390 cc's at best, yet a human brain is 1,350 cc's at worst, and Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal had an average of 1,600 cc's in the brain. It is scientifically impossible to produce the complexity of the human brain from the relative lack of complexity in the chimpanzee's brain. Now, the chimp's brain is complex, but compared to that of man, there is a leap of light years in dimension. For instance, the human brain has over 100 billion cells. Each of these has 50,000 neuron connections to other cells, which in turn have 50,000 neuron connections to other brain cells. And actually, if we learned something new every second of our lives and assimilated that with what we already know, it would take us over 3 million years to use up our capacity. So this graphics display in full color illustrates the difference between the capacity of the chimpanzee and that of man. And then, in full color, one of my very favorite illustrations is on pages 88 and 89. And as I give double numbers to these pages, I'd like for you listeners to realize that these graphics often span both pages. They can be demonstrated in a Sunday school class. This particular graph, illustration on pages 88 and 89, demonstrate the evolutionary theory from a cosmic Big Bang all the way through the nebular hypothesis, all the way through the development of life, and then it demonstrates this in an oval collapsing back upon itself. And in this chapter, I show that evolutionary theory is a theory bereft of future hope, in that evolutionists must admit that if evolution is true, this universe is either going to collapse back upon itself, it's going to expand or lose its energy one way or another, whether it's a big crunch of the future, the big freeze, or the big whimper, as I illustrate in these chapters. Those are the three basic theories as to how the universe is going to die. This graph illustrates that evolutionary theory has an underlying concept of hopelessness, offering no hope for the future. Now, I must quickly give you some of the rest of the photos of this book. I've only begun. There are 160 pages. In the section beginning in page 92, we illustrate in full color some of the artifacts demonstrating creation. For instance, on page 92, there is a tremendous human footprint found in Permian rock. According to evolutionary theory, Permian rock is supposed to be over 250 million years. What's a human footprint doing in it if it's 250 million years in age? The simple truth is, it's not 250 million years in age. On page 93 is a beautiful photograph of the sophisticated hammer that was found in Cretaceous rock. We have that artifact at the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose. Cretaceous rock means that certain dinosaurs were around at that time. Well, what's a man-made hammer doing in it if that rock is 110 to 140 million years old? The simple fact is that it's not that old at all. These were deposited in Noah's flood. Pages 94 and 95 illustrate other human footprints that we have. It continues on through page 97, illustrating that we have evidence that man and dinosaur lived contemporaneously. And then quickly, on pages 128 and 129 is a beautiful illustration of the motorized complexity of a bacteria. A bacterium has a flagellum that actually has rotors, has rings, has membrane layers that are equivalent to studs and rods in actual motors, a universal joint, all to propel this bacterium through the medium. This had to be designed. It could not, by any stretch of the imagination, have occurred by evolutionary processes. On page 135 is one of my favorites. It is the human brain within the smiling face of a human being. Behind it is the illustration of the universe with its constellations, with the planets, and a piano. The capacity of the human brain, and I can hardly wait to get to the broadcast where we talk about those capacities of design. In the chapter on design, like page 136 and 137, we have in full color the cell illustrated. On 138, the DNA illustrated. And finally, the book concludes on page 151 with an illustration of Charles Darwin. Within his mind, two other little Darwins arguing with themselves, showing that Darwin never intended to come to a final conclusion on facts. He intended for the discord to reign supreme in his own mind.
Thank you, Dr. Ball, for being with us today, and we want to pray for Dr. Ball, and I certainly would encourage our listeners to put Dr. Ball on your prayer list, because we need him around many, many more years, and you're going to love this book. All the beautiful color charts and pictures, it's just outstanding, and I think it will make a tremendous impression on young people. And after all, if everything came by evolution, why do we need God? So here now is our announcer.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. As an example of how pervasive evolution is, a radio station that wants to carry our program contacted us recently. In researching the city where it's located, the Chamber of Commerce's website stated that people had populated the area as far back as 1,200 years ago. We, of course, believe the Earth is much younger than that, about half that many years or thereabouts. But there it was, bold as anything, 1,200 years ago. Of course, evolution has claimed millions of years. The point is, evolution is a clear and present danger to our nation. Dr. Ball's powerful book is an excellent tool to refute their claims. Get your copy of the 160-page hardcover book for an offering of $20. Get three copies for a gift of $50. It's packed with full-color photographs, charts, and drawings. And, of course, Dr. Ball's commentary is well documented. We're also making another of his books available this week. It's the 91-page softcover book entitled Panorama of Creation. In this book, Dr. Ball scientifically shows beyond doubt that special creation is the only scientific explanation for man's existence. Get it for an offering of $10. Better yet, get both books at the same time for a contribution of $25. To place your order, call 800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. Call, write, or go online for the programs, too. By the way, the call center is open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. We're not having a prophecy conference this month, but there will be more during the year, and we'll let you know where and when they are prior to the time for them. Stay tuned for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. Join Brother Hutchings and Dr. Ball tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner, and I'll be bringing you today's report. Not every friend of science believes Darwinian evolution should be taught in government schools. Florida Governor Jeb Bush falls into that category. The Sunshine State's leader, who has converted from Protestantism to the Catholic Church, is not a science backer who will defend evolution. We're quoting now from Newsmax.com, a story that was posted on the Internet December 29, 2005. Quote, Florida Governor Jeb Bush has portrayed himself as a friend of science, going so far as to spearhead a deal to bring an arm of the prestigious Scripps Research Institute to South Florida. But don't count on him to defend one of the pillars of modern science. Bush said he did not think Darwin's theory of evolution needed to be part of the state's public school science standards, according to an account in the Miami Herald. I think people have different points of view, and they can be discussed in school, Bush said. They don't need to be in the curriculum. Bush's comments came in response to reporters' questions about a court ruling in Pennsylvania on intelligent design, which holds that life on Earth is too complicated to have been created by chance. Bush spokesman Russell Schweich clarified Bush's position somewhat. Evolution is a scientific theory, and he's not opposed to it being taught in classrooms, Schweich said. But he doesn't think it should necessarily be dictated in the standards. Florida's science standards do not mention evolution by name, but do reference some of its core principles. They were slated to be reviewed in 2006, but state education officials decided to postpone the process until 2007 or 2008. Bush, a Catholic who personally believes God created life on Earth, also thinks science teachers should have some discretion to discuss any scientific theory, Schweich said. Close quotes. Many scientists believe, as Bush does, that God is the creator and that we did not get here through some evolutionary process. Yet government schools seem bent on presenting only the view that has not been scientifically proved as the only viable answer of creation. The Bible is replete with references to how the world and universe came into being. For example, John tells us that Jesus created everything. We read, quote, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Close quotes. That's from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. That's today's Bible in the News Report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports, as well as question and answers, are published monthly in a booklet. If you want a copy of that publication, call, write, or visit our website to place your order. Please include a gift of $3 to cover the shipping and handling. The phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer the mail, write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. Or you may visit our website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News Report or question and answer.